gosh, Katie Jones, voice of an angel, right? Thank you. Yeah. Katie and the Joneses. You can use that, guys. Band name. So here we are. Man, this is a good room. So, starting strong. I meant to do that. So, my relationship with Jesus has transformed a lot over the last 17 years. First, he was my rescuer. Then he became my rabbi. Then he became my Lord. And I'm not saying that this is the journey everyone goes through, but it's just been like my personal journey. And so I'm not saying it's like a formula or anything. I'm just kind of sharing what it's been like for me. But let me explain a little bit. So he started as my rescuer. And I do think, although I think, you know, this is kind of my personal journey, I think this is how it starts for most of us. And I'll put it this way. Jesus tells three parables in Luke 15. First, he talks about a lost sheep that wanders off. Then he talks about a lost coin that's gone missing. Third, a son that leaves home. And that was me. I was the lost sheep that Jesus went out into the night and found. He reached his shepherd's staff into the deepest pit and pulled me out. I was the lost coin that Jesus took the time and patience, so much patience with me, to find. He turned on every light in the house and swept under every piece of furniture until I was found. And then finally, I was the wayward daughter that said, "No, Dad, I'm good. I think I'm just going to do my own thing. Thanks, though." And he waited and waited and waited until I came home to him with open arms. And so he was my rescuer, right? When I first met Jesus, he was my rescuer. And then he became my rabbi. And rabbi means teacher. Probably a lot of you know that. It means teacher, and it's used a lot in scripture because it's a Jewish teacher, a rabbi. And that role of rabbi that Jesus played, it meant a lot to me, and it means a lot to me now. And what I mean by that is I learned to love learning from Jesus. Learning from him how to live, how to treat people, how to talk, what mattered to him should matter to me. And for me, that looked like, you know, probably like a lot of you, going to church, listening to sermons, listening to my favorite preachers. Obviously, I still do all these things. Going to small group, learning, reading my Bible, learning about Jesus. And he became my favorite teacher. There's this old Jewish blessing that says, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." And that's what I've been trying to do, is walk so closely behind Jesus that his dust just like is all over me. It's just like blowing up on me as he's walking. I'm just taking on the dust, right? And so he was my rescuer. He was my rabbi. He taught me his ways. And then the next thing that he really became to me, which this is the transition that I want to talk about with y'all tonight, is he became my Lord. And I'm not talking, just side note and aside, I'm not talking about salvation. Like, I think when he rescued me, he saved me, and, you know, I'm going to heaven that moment. I'm just talking about, like, my journey, right? Since then. The in-between, right? The in-between, you found Jesus, and you're going to heaven. And so he became my Lord. And Lord in the New Testament is a Greek word, and it's pronounced kureos, kureos, Lord. And sometimes the word is used, Lord, like just respect, kind of like the woman at the well. When she met Jesus, she called him Lord. And it just meant like, sir, you know, it was just a term of respect, sir, you know, something you would say to an elder. But the real definition that when I say Jesus became my Lord was not that. the real definition for me was what it's mostly used in the New Testament, and that's this. He to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. He to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. Did you catch that? If he's Lord to me, then I belong to him, and he makes my decisions. If he is your Lord, then you belong to him, and he makes your decisions. And there was a turning point for me, and I'll talk about that a little bit in a second, but I want to first read this to y'all. This is an example of someone in Scripture, in Mark 10, that where Jesus has this super interesting interaction with him, and he basically is asking this man to move from, I want you to look at me not just a teacher, but as Lord, okay? And he doesn't respond well, okay? So listen, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not do fraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, Jesus said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Such an interesting story, right? It's a story, you know, we hear about it like the rich young ruler. And it starts, I want to point out a couple things. One, it starts by the man calling Jesus what? Teacher, teacher, rabbi, teacher. And, you know, he kind of tells Jesus, like, I've been learning from you, and I've been following you, and I've been, like, doing all those things, all the commandments, I've been doing them. And I love this. In verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. And I just think about Jesus, you know, with his knowing smile, and just being like, I'm about to give you a gift, and we'll see if you accept it. He looked at him and loved him, and he asked him to make the jump. He says, and he exerts his lordship on him. And he asks him to do something he doesn't want to do. And sell everything. In this particular case, I don't think that Jesus is telling all of us to go sell all our possessions. I think that's what he was telling this person to do. He says, go and sell everything. And the guy basically says no. Gets sad, leaves. And this is my thought on it, that the ruler, this man, the man in the story said, you know, Jesus, I think you're a great teacher, and I think you're a person to follow and learn from, and I think you can give me a lot of, you know, instructions about how to live my life and do good, but you're not going to make my decisions for me. That's not our relationship. You're not going to make my decisions for me. And so he was his rabbi, but he wasn't his Lord. And let me tell you my own real life example. I feel like I did have kind of a turning point a while ago. And obviously, just like everything with walking with Jesus, it's not like you have a turning point and then you do it all perfectly, right? I mean, but there was a distinct turning point. But recently, something very applicable to this happened to me. And that is this. And most of you don't know this, but I, in May, after 12 years of Young Life staff, and leaving Young Life and going off staff. I know. And you can ask me about it if you want. But I thought, you know, it so applies to this. And y'all are my people. Like, I want you to know. But here's the deal. It's my choice to leave. No one's asking me to leave, thankfully. I don't know. Maybe if I was around a few more years, they're like, bye-bye, you know. No one's asking me to leave, but it's been very, very hard for me to leave. Very hard. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. I'm kind of kicking and screaming a little bit. And that might sound weird to you because you're like, well, if no one's asking you to leave and you don't want to leave, then why are you leaving? And here's the truth. And here's what I told Brett when I told him I was going to leave. And here's what I've told all my closest friends. And here's what I would tell you if we went to coffee or something and you asked me. But it's actually very simple. And it's not always satisfying to people when I tell them this. But it's simply because God told me to. He just told me. You know, through a lot of prayer and time with him, he just said, Ashley, I love you. This is going to be really hard for you, but it's time to go. It's time to go. And this ministry has been immensely valuable to me. I mean, I can't even tell you. I feel like I am richer than the rich young ruler because of the relationships, the things God has taught me, like the joy that I've experienced. I mean, I couldn't even begin to explain it to you, honestly. Can't even scratch the surface. I feel richer than that. But if Jesus is the Lord of my life and he says go, I go. I go. Even if it's not really a decision that I would have personally wanted to make. I'm trusting him to lead me. I'm trusting that he knows me better than I know myself. And when he says go, and he's Lord, I go. That's what I do. Even if I'm kind of like whining about it a little bit, to be honest. And so Jesus was my rescuer. He is my rescuer, he's my rabbi, and he's my Lord. And here's the surprising part, okay? Here's the surprising part that I didn't expect. And this is kind of a new thing, what I just shared. But as I've made these types of decisions along the way and letting him make those decisions on my life, here's the surprising part, is that when you transition from him being rabbi to Lord in your life, he gives you rewards along the journey as you submit your life to him. And I haven't lived that long, so I don't know all of the rewards, but I do know two rewards, okay? And here they are. One, radical assignments. Radical assignments. Peter, in scripture, Peter in the Bible, in Luke 5, when he first has his encounter with Jesus, most of us know the story, right? Jesus comes up, they've been fishing all day, and you know, Jesus is like, let's take the boat out. And Peter's like, okay, you know, let's go. And so they go out, and they have this huge catch of fish, and Peter falls down, and he says, go away from me, Lord. And he calls him Lord. And it's the first time he calls him Lord that's not like the term of respect I was talking about, not just like sir. And Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And Jesus gives this fisherman, who had a very small vision for his life, becomes a fisher of men. Jesus gives him this assignment. And not only a fisher of men, but Peter went on to start the church, to why we have a Christian church today. Peter, he gave him that assignment. Another person in scripture, Mary, mother of Jesus, an angel visits her and she, you know, the angel says, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And, you know, Mary, I'm like, what was she thinking? Like, yeah, it's all angelic and literally angelic, like in the story, but also, like, what was she thinking? I mean, she had a plan. She was engaged. She was engaged. She had a man and she had a plan, right? All the girls are like, yep. Man and a plan. That's all I'm asking for, Jesus. And you know what her response is to the angel? She says, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. He's my Lord. And he takes a poor teenager from the wrong side of town, and gives her the holy task, maybe the most holy task he ever gave any human, of being the mother of Jesus. And that doesn't even include, I mean, don't even get me started on Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Noah and Esther and David and on and on and on and on. Of these people that submitted themselves to God, said, you are Lord of my life. And he was like, I'm about to blow your mind. crazy stuff. You know, I mean, obviously I'm with college students like all day, every day. That's like all I do. And so I feel like I have a really good sense of, if we polled this room right now and we said, if you could have the answer to one question about your life, what would it be? I think a lot of you would say, what am I going to do with my life and will it be good? Right? And here's the answer. Here's the answer. I'm going to give it to you. Okay? Write it down. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, and he will give you some radical assignments that you could have never dreamed up. When I was a senior at UT, I was an advertising major, and this job that I'm in right now, College Young Life at UT, didn't even exist. It didn't even exist. Just wrap your mind around that. So I wouldn't have been sitting in my house my senior year going, I think it's this ministry that doesn't exist. That's what I'm going to be doing. I mean, God was like, Ashley, you have no idea. Just trust me. Just trust me. Blew my mind. Psh, out of the water. Blew me out of the water. So one reward, radical assignments. Two, the second reward I think he gives us is radical ideas. Zacchaeus, we all know the story, right? He's a wee little man. Poor Zacchaeus. Such a bad rap, you know? He's like, down in history for that? Okay. So in Luke 19, Zacchaeus is, you know, a head tax collector, right? So he's basically like the mafia. And you can use that. That's totally biblically accurate. So he's like the mafia. And Jesus calls him by name out of the tree, and he goes to his house, and Zacchaeus makes Jesus the Lord of his life. And you know that because he says, in the scripture, he says, look, Lord, look, Jesus, look, Lord. And he says, I'm gonna give away half my possessions to the poor, and everyone that I've wronged, everyone that I've taken money from, I'm going to give back four times. And he just has this radical idea to be crazy generous and give four times what he took. Radical ideas. The leper in Luke 5 who goes to Jesus and he says, and you could say this about so many of the healing stories in the New Testament, but the leper in Luke 5 goes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing, be clean. And I know we read those words and we think, that's not that miraculous, but that leper knew that Jesus was Lord, and he knew to ask him for big things. And when you make him the Lord of your life, you start thinking bigger, you start asking for crazy things you never even thought of, out of the box stuff. You know, here's one of my biggest fears, and I truly mean this, I'm not trying to be funny, like, I truly fear this, that I'm going to die and go to heaven, and I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to see him in all his glory and all his majesty, and I'm just going to obviously probably be kneeling at his magnificence, and in my mind I'm going to go, I should have thought bigger, should have thought bigger, should have dreamed bigger, should have asked for more things, should have trusted him more, should have given him everything. Jesus, Lord of my life, everything. You just tell me what to do. Do anything. Do anything. And so the obvious question is this, and I'm almost done. Where in your life does Jesus need to be Lord? Where in your life are you agreeing with Jesus? You know, like a lot of head nodding, like, yes, Jesus. Yes, yes, Jesus. But you're not believing and you're not following him. You're agreeing, but you're not believing and you're not following him. Where are you making decisions and not him? What is he asking you to walk away from? A relationship, a lifestyle, a friend group? What is he asking you to walk away from? What is he asking you to do that you're stalling on? Oh, that's me. What is he asking you to do that you're stalling on? Forgive someone that you don't want to forgive? Forgive someone you don't want to forgive? A lot of you in here, a lot of freshmen or sophomores or whatever, are in here thinking about being a leader, considering being a leader. And here's the thing. That is a decision between you and the Lord. Every Young Life leader in this room would be like, you better go pray about that. Better go to Jesus. and he better tell you. So I'm not telling you what to do by any stretch of the imagination. But if Jesus has told you to do it, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And if he has whispered it to you, stop making excuses internally and externally and just be like, I'm going for it. He told me to do it. I'm going for it. What about submitting the anxiety and the need to control your schedule and just trusting God will make the time? Not just for being a leader, I mean everybody, all of me, for sure. Those of you that are leaders, what about meeting one more kid at the high school? One more kid, even though you're a senior, even though this is your last semester. Have you ever thought, you know, I mentioned these parables at the beginning, but Jesus going after the one sheep, the one coin, the one son, the one daughter. And have you ever thought that you were one? You're just one person. I am just one person. And someone came and found me. And you know, we don't get to be the shepherd in the story. We don't get to be the father, but we get to be the tool. We get to be the staff. Jesus is like, you can be my staff and we'll pull them out together. Just one. You were just one. Aren't you so glad someone came and found you? Whether that's your parents or your friend or your parent, your friend's parents or whoever it was, your Young Life leader. I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord, that one, I'm one and I mattered, you know? What about spending time with the kid that's intimidating and looks like they've got it all together, but they just desperately need someone to really know them and love them? Stop being intimidated by them. Go meet them. Hang out with them. What about the one that's just driving you nuts? Just driving you nuts. There they are. Just follow me around. Right? We all know. You know why they're following you around? Because you look like Jesus. She looked just like Jesus to them. There's a lot of lost sheep and a lot of lost coins out there just waiting to be found in Austin. And they are scattered all over the city like a treasure hunt. And the people in this room are the ones that Jesus has chosen to go find them. And Jesus is worthy to be the Lord of your life. Say it again. For myself too. Jesus is worthy to be the Lord of your life. He is worthy to be the Lord of your life. And I want you to listen to me. This is like literally my last sentence. He will not let you down. He is not going to let you down. He hasn't let me down. Not once. I'm 17 years in. We can ask Brett. He's really old. So how, you know, just trying to get that jab in there. And anyway, he's not going to let you down. You know, things didn't go the way I thought. They went better than I thought. Okay, I'm going to pray for us, and Brett's going to come up and give us some announcements.